If you would, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the first four verses. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to stop there. That's plenty. I've entitled this, No Condemnation in Christ Jesus. No condemnation in Christ. Now, I do have something to say at the beginning here, because Romans 8 chapter 1 comes right after Romans chapter 7. And I do have one thing to say about those who don't seem to get what Paul wrote in Romans 7, and therefore they don't seem to get the transition from Romans 7 to Romans 8. Please, if you would, pay attention to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. Paul wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote in the past tense when he meant the past tense. Paul wrote in the present tense when he meant in the present tense. And he wrote in the future tense when he meant the future tense. This is not an imagining. I mean, there are people out there, and there were people out there, they're dead now, the ones I know, that I have read their works, some of them. And their sermons, their writings, some of them, their recordings have blessed me dearly. They preach the gospel. But when they get to Romans 7, that part here where, you know, Paul talks in the present tense of having trouble in the body, they have a feeling, and they state that that was in the past before conversion. It's not so. Paul was writing in the present tense. That was what was going on in Paul at that time. Robert Hawker, didn't feel that way. He put it this way, and I don't know of any better way to put it. He said this: but nothing can be more plain than that it is Paul's own history that he writes, and his own experience in the very moment of writing, and which the Holy Ghost taught him to instruct the church concerning. And I agree wholeheartedly with that. The people of Israel didn't have many battles until they crossed over Jordan into the promised land. That's when the battles began in earnest. The people of God don't have any real battles without. They have them within, but they don't have them without until after conversion, when God has brought them in. There's no battle between the law and the Spirit when you have no Spirit. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Okay? That's one of those battle of wits with an unarmed opponent. Okay? You can't have a battle with the Spirit and the flesh when you only have the flesh. And once you have, we still have the old man. We still have the new man. These two are opposed to each other. There's going to be a battle within. Anyhow, I listened, I didn't listen, I actually read his sermon, and he wanted to ignore the last part of Romans 7 while talking about Romans 8:1. And he wanted, now, he didn't say anything bad about Romans 8:1, but he couldn't talk about Romans 7 because he didn't think it applied. He backed it up to Romans chapter 5, saying, this is where it all starts. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, yes, it does start there. That's a valid statement. But if you're going to do that, go ahead and back all the way up to Romans chapter 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to what? Everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Everything Paul writes is going right in line with everything else Paul is going to write. It just boggles my mind that they can be so right on this and then miss that. And that part scares me because then I wonder where I'm wrong. And I don't know it. But I do know this. I recognize this battle Paul has in Romans 7 in myself. And I recognize it for a battle I didn't have until I was converted. And if you listen to these men and you read their sermons, you'll hear that them talking about the battle themselves. But they don't apply it to Romans 7. And I don't understand, you know, how we can miss that. But that's how depraved we are. And I mean, all I can do is I can't preach Romans 8:1 without looking at Romans 7. There's no way to do it. Romans 7 is not in a parenthesis all by its little self. See, it's like, that's the way free will people talk about Romans 9. You understand? Romans 8 is about salvation. Romans 10 is, well, that's where the Romans road is. That's got to be about salvation. But Romans 9, don't pay attention to that. You can't do it. Not and be honest. Anyhow, therefore now, there's no condemnation. I don't know of a better statement than that from my point of view. Therefore now, there's the word therefore. You're supposed to look back and see what it's there for. I'm not going all the way back to Romans 5, although it could, but I got to get this done this morning. But here's the question. When is there no condemnation? Now. Right after Paul said, oh, wretched man that what? I am.
Right.
Present tense. Right after he said that, oh, wretched man that I am, what? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Therefore now, there's no... Why is that? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Neither one of those is in the past tense. You don't want. You can't say. He doesn't say. Then with my mind, I serve the law of God now, but I used to serve the law of sin in my flesh. No, your flesh hadn't changed.
Right.
We are to mortify the members. We are to mortify the members. That's also in the present tense. This is what we do. Why? Because we have this battle. But it doesn't matter for this part for Romans 8:1. I want to say it. Nevertheless, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Nevertheless. When? Now. Now. Right now. See, Paul's in the present tense here, and they'll say that. But he's in the present tense in Romans 7. Are you sure? Well, even if I'm not sure, the Apostle Paul is sure. Therefore, now, no condemnation. That's a glorious thought. And I'm willing to bet that the Apostle Paul rejoiced when he wrote those words down. there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Now. Now. What is this? July the 16th, 2017, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this a couple thousand years ago. There was no condemnation then. There's no condemnation now to those which are in Christ Jesus. Now, very quickly, what are we talking about? There's no what? No condemnation. The word means an adverse sentence. It's a guilty verdict. But it's a guilty verdict of damnation. That's what the word condemnation means. It's a guilty verdict. It's a judicial term. Just like a lot of the words that God uses in this book. I do remember one thing one of the fellows wrote. He talked about, he says, y'all use all them big words like sanctification and justification and condemnation. Those are hard words. Yeah. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God. These are the words God used in this book. He used legal terms. What? We talk about the law. That's a legal term. We talk about justification. Not only just as if I've never sinned, but if you're justified, you've done everything right.
Right. That's it. That's it.
It's not that you haven't done anything wrong, even though in justification, if you are justified, you didn't do anything wrong, but you did the right thing.
Right.
Where do we get stuff like that? In Christ Jesus and in His Word. And this word condemnation means a guilty verdict, condemning guilty verdict. And you, as a believer in Christ, don't have a guilty verdict against you. Now, right now. No matter what you've done this morning, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you will do in the future, there is therefore now no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. That is a glorious statement of grace. The grace of God the Father in the Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe you got a little condemnation. No. Paul said none. There's none. No, none. Condemnation, realize this, condemnation comes from God. It's God who is the offended party. It's God who that is sinned against. Sin is against God, and He said He won't have it. The soul that sins, it shall die. But there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Actually, it's this. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, and there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Both statements are true. Both statements are true. Someone, somewhere, is not condemned by God. And we're told who? Right here. Not now. Not now. To them which are in Christ Jesus. This is good news. But it's not good news to everyone. Paul didn't address this letter to everyone. He addressed it to believers and to saints. Because simply put, if you are not in Christ Jesus now, you're condemned. You have no claim to no condemnation now. Is that too simple? No. It's not too plain. It's just so. I'm going to look for just a second here in John chapter 3. Because I want to use the words of Christ on this. John chapter 3 and verse 18. This is speaking about the only begotten Son of the Father. He that believeth on Him, the Son, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Why would such a thing be? Because, Christ continued, he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That name is exalted above every name now. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are what? Wrought in God. We are saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. But we are saved by grace through faith, but that's not the end. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and it is indeed a good work to believe the Son of the living God. He that believes is not condemned. Christ already said it. Paul's just repeating what Christ said. Now there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means you believe Him. It means you believe His gospel. It means He has made you alive. He has given you this battle within your own flesh. But He has given you His righteousness. There is no condemnation now to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because being in Christ means no condemnation. Now this last phrase of this first verse, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There are equally those, if you have an NIV, it might not have it there, or it might have it there in italics. Because in some of the complete manuscripts, that part of the verse is left out. But it's still there in verse 4. And guess what? Paul has been known to write down things more than once in a chapter. I don't have a problem with this. Because if it's true in verse 4, it's true in verse 1. And it's in the Textus Receptus, which is what the King James has taken from. I don't have a problem with it, because if it's true once, it's true always. It is the truth. That's right. This, in this verse, and I do know some people use it as this, they use this as a qualification. They want to. That's not what it is. This is just a description of being in Christ Jesus. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the truth. That's the truth of it. We have been freed from the law, he goes on to say. But some teach, and I do want to say this incorrectly, but this is what they teach, that you can be in Christ and still walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. That's not what Paul's saying here. This is not a condition for no condemnation. This is a description of those who are in, who have no condemnation. A, they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. B, the reason they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is because they are in Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, And he will see to it that we walk in them. He puts in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What did Paul say? So then, with my mind, I serve the law of God. That's a work of the Spirit. We walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh if we are in Christ. It's a description. Now, very clearly, Romans 8:1 is not a statement about election. It's about those who have been brought in to Christ. It is about those who have gone through what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. In the past tense and in the present tense. This is not about being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is about those who are in Christ Jesus now. There is therefore now no condemnation. He that believes on God's Holy Son is not condemned. He that doesn't believe is condemned already. Christ said it. I read it just a little while ago. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is a law of which I am very glad. The law of the Spirit of life, what? In Christ. In Christ is life. Without Christ is death. That's the two opposites. In Christ is life. That is the life of the Spirit. It's His life. He is our life. And it has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, this law of sin and death, is that the law, or is that just the law of sin and death? Well, if you look at verse 3, it sort of gives it away for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. I believe this is talking about the law. I've heard it both ways. But what I want to do here is just take a look at Romans 7 and verse 9. For I was alive without the law once. Now this is Paul speaking in the past tense. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now the commandment had always been there. Paul had known the commandments. But this is when he actually truly became to know the commandment. He said, I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. The law always said, thou shalt not covet. But Paul didn't know it until life had come to Saul of Tarsus. Paul did not know it. The law of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I was alive without the law once, the understanding of it. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. There's no way to talk about Romans 8:1 without bringing up Romans 7. Remember where Paul started in Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death, the law of sin and death. But now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. we are dead to the law by the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Now we live with Him. We live in Him. We live because of Him. We have been given the fruit of the Spirit and are dead to the law. And Paul explains, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But not in your flesh, in His flesh. The law couldn't do some things. The law couldn't make a man holy. All the law could do is show you where you weren't holy. The law was weak, but through the flesh. The law wasn't the problem. We were the problem. Human beings are the problem. Man is the problem. Man always has been the problem with the law. The law is holy. And the commandment, holy, just, and good. And we are none of the above. We're not holy, we're not just, and we're not good. The law cannot justify us. The law cannot forgive us. The law can't even help us. The law condemns us because we are weak through the flesh. And we always fail. But God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in His own flesh. Sin was condemned in Him. There's always going to be a condemnation. There's none on those which are in Christ. Why? Because our Lord was condemned. Therefore, because of that, those in Christ Jesus are not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Christ was condemned 2,000 years ago. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law that we couldn't keep would be fulfilled in us because our Lord was condemned for sin. We have now. Here's why there's no condemnation in those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here's why. We have the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. In us. We have everything that Christ has. Because the Father has given us to Him, and He has given Him to us. He is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians says, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus. They didn't stop there. He described, who is made unto us. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of God, you are in Him. That the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 10 and verse 4, Paul continues on from here. Says that Jesus Christ is the end of the law. For Christ is the end of the law. And some people want to stop right there, but you can't. Christ is the end of the law, what? For righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is not the end of the law. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Why? Because He is our righteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. And those which are in Christ Jesus are those which believe Christ Jesus. To them which believe. I said it, the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good. The law is not ended. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone which believes. To every believer. Only those whom Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has brought in can say the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in them. They believe. And it's only in Christ. All of it's in Christ. The conclusion of this message is easy. There's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Even with everything Paul said in Romans 7, no condemnation. You know that I am carnal, sold under sin. Absolutely no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What about what I do? The good that I would do, that I do not. The evil that I wouldn't do, that I do. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I love that. Rejoice. There's no condemnation. Praise God. There's no condemnation. What about sin that dwells in me? Sin lives in me, in my flesh. Nevertheless, there's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Evil is present in me. No condemnation. How is this possible? Paul stated it right before this. Who shall deliver me from the body of what? This death. This war between the flesh and the spirit. This war that we find, that is found and admitted to by every true believer, if they know what they're talking about. They know there's a battle within. How am I delivered from this? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin, and rejoice in your hearts, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Absolutely none. What about what I do in the future? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why? There's no condemnation. Our Lord was condemned. God is just and forgives us our sins because they were laid on Him. Those that are in Him, we're condemned in Him, risen with Him, and we're forgiven in Him. There's no condemnation now if you are in Him. Rejoice, and again I say unto you, rejoice. There's therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. You read the rest of this book, the rest of this chapter, just chapter 8. And that's what Paul gets to. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that what? Condemneth. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from what? The love of Christ. There's no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, because they are in the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Lord, help us always to lay hold of this and to rejoice in your holy name for all the blessings you've given to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. We are grieved by sin, but we need to rejoice in you. We hate the garment spotted by the flesh, but we are always to praise you, for there is no condemnation now to those which are in thy Son. We thank you and praise you. Be with Walter as he comes to speak. Help us to understand your word as we walk in this world. In Christ's name, amen.